Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libation. Happy St. Patrick's
Happy
Day.
Happy St. Patty's Day, Woo! Everybody. Cheers.
That's, cheers. I would like to welcome you here at Church Drunk. A few things you need to know. At the top, we are Catholic. You don't have to be, although on St. Patrick's Day, everybody wants to be.
Yeah,
so
everybody's
this is a good day.
Irish, everybody's Catholic, even though we know that not all Irish are Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll
come
talk
back
about
to that.
Yeah, we'll be circling around.
Yep. And St. Patrick would be with us fully in spirit because he knows we come close to heresy and blasphemy, and he'd be driving us back with
yes.
his rod of righteousness.
Getting rid of those
yes.
dirty serpents.
So not only do we slither our way up to heresy, sometimes we use dirty words,
yeah.
bad words, cussy words.
You can be a bit foul-mouthed.
And you've been warned, and this
yeah.
is a party, so grab a glass,
yeah.
and I'm Dizzy here with Guess, and guess what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Guinness, because it's a day for
shocking.
Guinness and Jameson
mm-hmm.
and corned beef and cabbage and Cole Cannon. And my
so
sainted
good.
Grandmother's grasshopper pie. It's a great day.
Tradition.
For St. Patty's Day.
Anything green is
yeah.
Irish and goes on St. Patty's
yeah.
Day.
And what are you drinking? It's not green, but it's...
It's just as Irish as Guinness. I've got the Bailey's Irish
yeah.
cream with over a couple ice cubes.
Yeah.
Had never drunk it that way before, but I did have it in a car bomb earlier, so figured
yeah.
probably shouldn't repeat that too soon.
As soon as you're done, we'll take your leftovers and my leftovers when we're done recording here, and we'll make a car bomb.
It's a heavenly milkshake.
Yeah, which, by the way, totally offensive, the name
yes.
of that
oh.
particular beverage.
I know, actually, like, from Ireland people,
yeah.
and they don't like that you
yeah.
say that,
no.
that I say that.
What do they call it? They probably don't drink it. I mean, like,
I think... Who knows?
They
just get mad at you for calling. I never got past that, like, don't say that part.
Shots of Jameson, Bailey's, and pounding a Guinness. That's just Wednesday.
Yeah.
They didn't even call that a car bomb, yeah.
Cocktail hour. All right. So we've done lots of things here on Church Drunk on St. Patrick's Day. I think
yes.
because
yes.
it falls during the Lenten season, usually, and we're ready for a party
yeah.
at that point.
I do feel like, though Mardi Gras and Ash Wednesday were sort of the birthday of
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Church Drunk,
mm-hmm.
that it's really, like, the coming of age of Church Drunk is St. Patrick's Day, when
Church
you think
drunk,
about. This was our bar mitzvah, our bat mitzvah, our confirmation, our time to for Church Drunk to
yeah,
step into its
our
own
quinceañera.
With the drunk lives of the saints of St. Patrick and St. Bridget
it's
during season one.
Still something that I think about
yeah.
and, like, shudder.
The lake
and
of
yet,
beer. The lake of beer.
If you want to know the heart of Church Drunk,
yeah.
go fucking listen to St. Patrick's Day from, like, 2017.
Yeah, it's like episode, like, 5 or something
yeah.
like that. All the way
it's,
back.
It's something.
It's fantastic.
Okay.
It is.
So
it's
St.
Patrick's Day.
So if you want to know a lot about St. Patrick's life.
Once again, it's a day for us to celebrate. And, it, you know, like,
yeah.
for me, when the calendar flips to March,
mm-hmm.
you know, which coincidentally in our part of the world tends to be, you know, in lots of parts of the world, the sun starts to come out a little bit more. You know, like, the weather's not super warm yet, but everything starts to green up just a little bit, and you kind of get to that end of the sort of dark days of winter, and
yeah.
you start to get a little more brightness, a little more hope. So I start listening to the tunes, I start hanging out, I start getting ready for St. Patty's
yeah.
Day. Like, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, and it's, like, almost real spring, right?
It's
equinox
yeah.
on March 21st. Like, we are getting close to spring.
Yeah.
This tends to fool me into thinking that Lent is almost over, which,
no.
guess what?
Not even close.
It's not.
Not even close.
Damn it.
Yeah.
But to get us through, we do have these Saints Days, and we do have booze.
Yeah.
And we have this Irish spirituality
yeah.
to
and
turn
there,
to.
There are years where St. Patty's Day falls closer to
yeah.
mid-Lent, or even
no.
sometimes, like, late Lent, depending on, you know, where that
yeah.
equinox and full moon and whatnot happen to be. But this year, like, we're 10
no.
days into Lent.
I'm talking about this
Patty's
year where
Day.
I'm like, we're halfway through, and you're like, dude.
Not even close. Not even close.
Put down your drink.
Yeah.
Back to your prayer beads.
Right, yeah, yeah. Go
so,
hide in your hole.
Yeah.
So we do love St. Patty's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're, you know, like, a lot of people love St. Patty's Day.
Everybody.
And a lot of people also claim that St. Patrick would be horrified if he actually knew what St. Patty's
I mean,
Day had turned into, what his feast day was. Because
yes.
a lot of times we neglect to even, like, think about. Like, actually, today, this morning, we were having a little preparation for our St. Patrick's Day get-together. And, like, I was like, oh, I almost was ready to, like, skip mass to be like, no, I have to get, prepare my corned beef and cabbage, which St. Patrick would really not condone behavior.
Which is why I went to mass last night. This is a vigil sort of weekend when St. Paddy's falls on a Sunday.
Would also probably not condone, like, you know, yakking into a green river or, you know, like, or as
drinking your beer green.
Green. I mean, why ruin a good beer? Mm-mm. So, but we do love, like, across the international boundaries, people love St. Patrick's Day. I hear that if you go to Ireland, St. Patrick's Day is not nearly as big of like a crazy festivity as it is in the States.
I don't think culturally it is, but I do think the like party culture that is like globalization does spread where businesses are like, hey,
we can make some
the Americans seem to do really well on this day. We will also run promotional drink specials and, you know.
Yeah.
Just make the most of it.
But as the calendar flipped to March and I started to kind of get ready for St. Patrick's Day this year, I did realize that, like, you know, I always just kind of assume, like I'm a quarter Irish myself, which is not a huge slice, but enough that I can claim it, you know, as part of my roots. And one of my grandparents was of the McDonald clan, you know, like, so like, you know, there's a connection there. Okay. And I always knew that there was a little bit of real legitimacy to my love of Irish culture and St. Patrick's Day. But this year something kind of clicked and I don't know really why, but like I realized that part of what I love about Irish culture, Irish music, Irish, just kind of the whole vibe of it is that it resonates really deeply with like my Catholic identity, my Catholic culture. So it's definitely very much embedded, like Irish and Catholic go together, especially in this country, like Irish Catholic is like goes without saying.
And I think we can like say like all this, you know, maybe not authentically Irish, but like somebody brought it here. Right. Like it's just that it's been trickled down like many generations now. But there were people who left Ireland for less than ideal reasons.
Right.
Like a lot of people who arrived here on these U.S. shores.
Yeah.
And then have shared it in whichever ways it's changed. Like, I think there is a certain authenticity to that, right? It's an authentic culture that's been handed down. And maybe what we as a culture interpret as just, like, lots of drunkenness and rabble-rousing came from a celebration of community and an identity that needed to be preserved.
And it came from, I mean, in a lot of ways, was born of suffering, you know?
Right?
Like, that's a huge part of the story of Ireland, you know?
Yes.
And people generally go, like, oh, yeah, potato famine, you know, and like, mass exodus, which is
starving.
Definitely a huge amount of suffering from there. But also, like, Ireland was this tiny little sort of cultural pocket fighting for independence in the early 1900s against what at the time was still one of the, like, the largest empires in the world.
Right.
Like, Great Britain was still Great fucking Britain at that point.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we don't want you to rule us.
The empire.
Even though you're our next door neighbors, we want to be we have our own identity. We have our own culture.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own religion. And we want to be able to fight for that because... Yeah. You know, there's the whole Protestant versus Catholic kind of thing going on and all that sort of stuff. So I think that, you know, during Lent and, you know, as part of, like, where I'm at right now with my, like, Catholic struggle and all that, I'm like, no, the people of Ireland resonate with me on more than just, like, I like Guinness kind of level. Although I also like Guinness a lot.
Love the record show. Both are true.
Yes.
Yeah, and I've always associated Irish culture with Catholicism so strongly because of all the reasons you stated, but also we live in an area where a lot of Irish clergy came to.
Yeah.
Not to reveal too much, but like I've always had Irish priests and nuns in my life. And so I think they have imparted some of that understanding. And if you know a lot of Irish people or clergy, they do have a certain way about them. And there's a certain gentleness amidst the like, rabble rousing and the partying, there's a real gentleness of spirituality that's an undercurrent. And I remember taking a course on Celtic spirituality, and I think the other part that resonates is the nature part. You know, like the original Celtic people, you know, who were there had such a connection to nature. And like everything that Catholicism overlays, it keeps something from the local culture.
Well, you know, I mean, like the legend of St. Patrick where he's using the shamrock to teach about the Trinity. Like, it's very like tangible, you know, like the world around us teaches us about God's kind of presence.
And that God is present in the natural world.
Yeah,
you know, and Ireland's such a beautiful place, so full of greenery.
Yeah.
St. Bridget did not talk about a pool of beer.
It was a lake
swimming
of beer.
Pool. It was a lake of, beer.
Yeah. She was like the patron saint of Los Angeles. Maybe it would be a swimming pool full of beer or something, but.
Here's a mid-century modern kidney-shaped lake of beer. No.
But there's like there's also I think that something that goes along with the Irish culture that is sort of a wistfulness, as you say. Like we know a lot of people who
That's came probably from Ireland, a better word than gentleness. It's a wistfulness.
They kind of, you know, like there's a sense of, and it goes all the way back to you know, like sailors who would take off and not know if they were ever going to see home again. You know, like there was all these things.
Well, the sea is melancholy, right? Like it's baked in.
And they, but they loved home. They knew they might never see it again, but they friggin' loved home. And that, I think, first, you know, like, maybe I'm just getting old or maybe, but like, that all of a sudden my heartstrings are starting to resonate with that same frequency of like, there is something in our church right now that we have lost that we'll never probably get back, you know? Yeah. And like, we can look back on it fondly and say, gosh, wouldn't it be great? And I long for that, that place of comfort. But we'll probably never get back to it. You know, like ignorance was bliss for a while. And now we kind of have opened up to a new era of like post-scandal church. And we're realizing that the values
mid-scandal
of our church, are not. Exactly. Post-scandal announcements.
We know it exists now.
And like there's, you know, there's other things as well that like the Catholic values are not in line with social values. We no longer have a society that's built around Catholic values. And
true.
That, can feel like a very negative thing at times, but it doesn't have to be if we can figure out a way forward.
Yeah, there has to be that navigating. And I think anybody would have to navigate. Like, the culture or, like, the outside world is never, hopefully never always matches up exactly to what you think or believe, because then you wouldn't be thinking or feeling in any sincerity. But how do you navigate it? And I think the Celtic spirituality or the Irish kind of culture does help you, because there is that wistfulness and there is that melancholy. And what better medium to like take you back to home, to a nostalgic place, than music,
right?
And we were talking today a little bit about how so much of what we enjoy about St. Patrick's Day is the great excuse to be blasting the like Celtic tunes,
put on your
the Irish music,
put on your Clancy Brothers,
put on your Dropkick Murphys,
like all the stuff that just, you know, like bagpipes have their time and place, you know, and whether they're your Irish bagpipes, your Scottish bagpipes, your Galician bagpipes.
Are there like Peruvian ones or something? Like,
oh, your pan pipes, I think.
No, I think they go. Well,
you know,
whatever.
If you can find like a sheep's bladder, fill it up and attach it to a horn, right? Like, I'm sure it's not just the Celts that.
You can blow whatever you want to make some music. Church drunk.
But it is time. Like I said, that calendar turns to March, and all of a sudden the Irish drinking songs are going on. Mm-hmm. And along with those drinking songs, like when you really listen to it, and there's a whole bunch of other Irish folk music that's not meant to just be a drinking song in the pub, but is oftentimes played in the pub. There are these stories of love and loss and people coming together for one reason or another around oftentimes a tragedy. And oftentimes I have found, not always, but like finding hope in the midst of that tragedy. Like there's a story to be told, and they were telling it in song in the pubs and all together, or in the prisons, or in wherever they were singing these songs. So it's a wonderful time to delve into the
yeah, and they're just fun.
Yeah,
like that's the other thing. Like if there's anything we can learn from the Irish, is that you can have suffering.
Yeah.
And still have a big old party and sing about it and talk about it and at least be together and keep on keeping on.
Totally. And even like, you know, and I do have a soft spot, I know. And I don't know, this is a chicken and the egg kind of conversation, because I don't know if I have a soft spot for songs that are like really depressing and yet kind of bouncy.
Yeah.
Because I got into Irish music.
It's so fun.
Or if I enjoy Irish music because so much of it is bouncy, despite the fact that the words are like super depressing, but definitely like they have a way of taking something that's like the saddest story ever and turning it into like, let's all like bang on the tables
but
and sing about
it's
it.
It's because they're drinking songs.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, that's the interwoven life advice is like, well, either way,
or
just grab a pint and yell and sing about it.
In the case of Wheel of Wayla. That we were just, I just discovered this not long ago.
I was wondering if this is going to make an appearance.
It's not meant to be sung in the pubs, but in the streets of Dublin by little boys about Wheela Wayla, who lives down by the river and stabbed a baby and then got hung. And that's literally the end of the song. But it's like, dum-da-da-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
It's a jolly song if you listen to the words. You know, we've come a long way as a people, as a race of humans, where we understand that postpartum depression is a real thing.
Right.
And we don't want you to wheel your babies anymore.
Right, yeah, don't do that.
We will give you some fucking Xanax.
So there's There's, I mean, despite the fact it's a great song, not necessarily a favorite. Do you have a favorite? Come March, come St. Patty's Day.
Yes. Well, I mean, I feel that there anything loud and kind of fun and ragey is always right up my alley. But I like ballads. I like the story songs that's in a lot of them. Yeah. I do like the Rover one.
The Irish, the Wild Rover.
The Wild Rover. And it's actually kind of good life advice because, like, some people just stay at home and, like, live their lives. But then there's we who just go from place to place. Yeah. And we're meandering, and it's almost their spirituality, right? Yeah. Like they're not going to be held down.
And, but then his ship comes in, and he never has to play the Wild Rover no more. So he can finally afford to set down those roots that he's kind of been searching for. Oh, so what a great song.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. Yeah. How about you?
I mean, Finnegan's Wake was, I fell in love with that song first time I heard it. I'm trying to get baby guests to fall in love with it by singing it to him softly at night, which is
not at all creepy.
Kind of strange about the fact that it's a song about, like, you know, an alcoholic that falls off a ladder and dies, and then they have a wake for him, and then everybody gets into a fight at the wake. And,
yeah.
Okay. But Tim Finnegan, if you haven't heard the song, resurrects at the end.
It's practically like his baby catechism.
Brought back to life by whiskey. So,
That's one way to go.
Which comes from the Gaelic for water of life. Whiskey.
You know what?
Ishkivaha.
You really have thought this fully
through. Thank you, Clancy Brothers, for teaching me. Yeah. It's my Irish catechism. Yeah. There you go.
So good.
I also love Black Velvet Band.
I was going to say Black Velvet Band. I like all the classics.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone remember where they're telling the story? You know? That's going to be... What's the... I won't remember it, but one about a girl.
That one.
What's the Galway girl?
Oh. Yes. Well, there's the one... There's the...
No, it's where they love this Galway girl. Nothing bad happens to the Galway girl. She's pretty and they like her. That's it. I don't mind not listening.
That's how so many of them go.
You know what? Guess is really good about memorizing all the words, and I just sort of listen to the you know, choruses. I'm like, that sounds great.
Yeah. Well, there's the Galway Bay song where the guy's talking about his wife, where he says, maybe someday I'll go back to Ireland if my dear old wife would only pass away. Then he goes on to talk about how she drinks 16 pints of Pabst Blue Ribbon at the bar. And
this is a more recent one.
If the sea were beer instead of salty water, she would live and die in Galway Bay.
You know what? I like her. I want to be her friend.
It's a favorite of mine.
I bet she's not pining for his ass either.
Yeah, probably not.
She's like, good riddance.
Yeah.
Was he the wandering rover?
He might have been the
other
rover,
side.
Yeah. Might have been the wild rover. Oh
my gosh.
So, I think part of what really, like, you know, what I have discovered, this St. Well, there's Rambling Rover and there's Wild Rover. There's two.
I'm thinking of Rambling Rover. Okay. That's the one I like.
I was talking about Wild Rover.
Oh, see? That's why I'm like, what are you talking about the N? I don't know that part of the
N. Oh, yeah, I know. It's a deep dive when you start getting into the
so
Irish
many
tunes.
Rovers.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I think that part of what I've pulled out of, you know, like, you're supposed to read scripture and come back to it with different eyes every time. Hmm. And I don't know that, like, I'm the best at that.
Yeah.
But you read it enough times, and maybe not every single time you pull out something new, but, like, every now and then you see it in a different way. And I'm finding out that some of these songs that I listen to, like, every single March, and sometimes I keep it going, you know, like, they're not just seasonal songs. If you're in Ireland, they're just songs.
I wonder if they are, though.
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, they definitely don't revolve around St. Patrick's Day.
True.
So... Anyway, but, like, you can come back to those, and you can pull a little bit more out of them, and you can dive deeper, and you can learn more about where did that particular song or that particular ballad or that story come from in Irish culture. And why, actually, the old triangle that we were talking about the other day was one where the old triangle goes jingle jangle, and you can tell from the song there's a prison that they're talking about, but it comes from a play. It's like setting the stage for this play that's about the day in the life of prison, and the triangle is what's marking the passage of time. So it wakes everybody up in the morning, and then it tells you when there's a shift change or something like that. They would bang on this triangle. And the triangle, I guess, still hangs to this day over the gates of this prison. They don't ring it anymore, but Mountjoy Prison in Dublin.
Mountjoy.
You can go find... I know, how's that for a prison name?
It just rubs salt in the welcome to Mountjoy Prison.
Exactly. Like,
nothing good happens
here. Happy songs that are actually about sad things.
Yeah.
Prisons that are called Mountjoy. These are my people! Everything is tongue-in-cheek.
There's so much, like, sadness and yet wordiness.
Yeah.
It really is right up against alley.
Get us going on the literature and the poetry and the everything else.
So much. Well, and actually I was hoping maybe I'll... get it back on ye old blog and highlight I think a modern mystic who we had was John O'Donohue, and he passed away like kind of suddenly a few years ago. but a modern Irish mystic who wrote these beautiful blessings. Yeah. Lots of writings, but a nice book of blessings right before he passed away. Yeah. I think that's the other kind of thing we can take from Irish spirituality, this idea of blessing things. Totally. Right? Like the whole world is imbued with God's force, and then right. and that everything is holy. If you would only see it, and therefore you bless everything, right? Yeah. You bless your morning, and you bless your food, and you bless your family before they leave the house, and you bless nature.
There's a lot more Irish blessings than just like the may the road right. rise to meet you that like everybody kind of yeah. thinks of. And like, it's an Irish blessing.
Yeah, yeah. But like they don't there's own so many. The idea of blessings, but the to the whole church, blessings exist, yeah. but to Irish spirituality especially,
it's very
there's this intentional thing about bless things and bless your life and bless all the moments of your life,
yeah.
Which is really beautiful.
For sure. They kind of stole that from the Jews.
You know what? We stole a lot of things from the Jews, including the Messiah.
Yeah, no, that's a big part of the Jewish tradition, though, yeah. is you wake up and you bless the yes. day, and before yes. you leave the house, you pray for blessings, and you bless yes. the food, and you bless, like, there's a special prayer to
because
there's
this God's idea of keeping you in tune with God your whole day, yeah. right? That everything is to bring you back to that.
Totally.
And including your booziness. Yeah. Bless your booze.
Bless your booze. Raise a Guinness a Bailey's or a Jameson. Or drop your Bailey's and Jameson into your Guinness.
And chug, chug, chug.
And bless that St. Paddy's Day.
We should think of a holier name. Like maybe we should just call it like the Irish Blessing instead of
Irish Blessing. I like it.
Yeah. Then our friends won't be offended.
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe they still would be. Who knows?
I don't care. Yeah. I'll still drink it.
But bless our listeners
yes.
as well.
Hey,
thanks to those of you who are hanging in there with Church Drunk and sticking with us for another
yeah,
month.
Yeah, we don't talk a lot about like promotion or anything yeah. because this is obviously a really professional,
it's a labor of
personal
love.
Project.
That's what we call that, a labor of love.
Yeah, but we really do love hearing from you guys, and we yeah. do have an email, churchdrunk@gmail.com,
yep.
which listener M was so kind to write to
yeah.
Recently this March, and she wrote us a big chunk of an email.
Yeah, speaking
so
of literature,
much, a golden nugget
there
upon the St. Paddy's Day.
In there, yeah.
More than we could even read aloud to you or yeah. unpack in one episode. So we just want to say thanks to M. And it actually, a lot of it was about sacraments and kind of what I would call like sacrament etiquette.
Yeah.
When there's a sacrament season of children making their first sacraments. And we are going to definitely address that in a future episode.
Yeah. And in fact, we kind of, it sort of highlighted Sacrament of Reconciliation, which
yes.
we realized we haven't really talked a whole lot about. But
yeah.
we may want to get into that. So, and it's perfect for Lent. So we'll talk a bit
confession.
About that.
So we're going to talk about that.
Mass cards also came up. Which
yeah. And that's like, to me, this is like the sacrament etiquette.
We
all this
don't
shit.
Even know how we've been remiss in
yes,
talking
we
about
have
mass
opinions.
Cards. Yeah, for sure.
Thanks for asking, Em.
Yeah, totally.
We have things to say. Well, and like, you know, today that we wanted to just highlight that we got this email and also that like, that's kind of part of the Irish spirituality is like being sad about shit that you've done wrong. Like
yeah.
maybe, and we this Lent have been allowing ourselves a good wallow.
We have, yeah. This Lent
we
has started off
like,
a bit melancholy.
Yeah. So we're having an Irish start to Lent.
Yeah.
I feel. And eventually you have to turn it around and get to confession so you can go to Easter. So.
You do. You kind of got to let that shit go
yeah.
sometimes. So we'll chuck it in the fuck it bucket, but not until we kind of highlight some of what reconciliation
yes.
does for us. And we'll talk about the sacraments and we'll address
mm-hmm.
some of what M sent to us and we'll start to
yeah.
unpack that. So thank you, M, for sending
we
that. And we look forward
it.
To tackling it in the next
yes.
few episodes.
And if you would like to tell us your opinions on any sacrament etiquette you've noticed or any questions you have about confession, we'd
yeah.
love to hear them. At churchdrunk@gmail.com, or you can tweet at guests
right.
at churchdrunkpod.
At churchdrunkpod. Tell us about your favorite Irish songs.
Oh,
what,
yes.
What ones do you love?
Which rover do you prefer? I'm in the Rambling Rover camp.
I'm a Wild Rover kind of guy. and tell us about what songs you would like to see on this year's Sacrament? No, not Sacrament.
No,
that's
no,
future
no.
ones. Stations of the Cross playlist. There we go.
Yes.
So,
annual tradition.
Every year we post the songs that would accompany the Stations of the Cross. It's the way that I like to pray them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way that I share with Diz to pray the Stations of the Cross. And we will post it on the blog sometime in the next couple of weeks. So if you have a song where you're like, man, every time I hear this song, it makes me think of Jesus falling for the second time. Then let me know. I can add it to this year's Stations
yeah,
of the Cross
playlist.
Yeah,
we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's anything else you want to hear about during Lent, hit us up. We would love to hear from you.
There's so much Lent to go.
Yeah.
Plenty of time, everyone.
We do. We still have like 30 days left or more. So that's fun.
Cool.
Can't wait to not eat any nuts or peanut butter or anything for like another month. How are those tomatoes treating you?
Sauceless pizza is stupid.
In any event, we'll be back next week with another Church Drunk. We thank you guys for hanging with us. We hope that you are having a fantastic St. Paddy's Day.
Yes.
As we are.
Here's to you.
Raise a glass and play some tunes and enjoy what's left of this lovely St. Patrick's Day. And we'll be back next week here on Church Drunk.
Where we're chasing snakes.
Chasing snakes. Jesus. I thought we were supposed to chase them out.
Yeah, we're chasing them out.
Oh.
Out of our glasses.
No, you're trying to catch them.
You know me too well.
All right. Adios, everybody.